The Tale of Raja Vikramaditya. 1. This is what my master saith to me. 4 men were once going along the road, and they came to a wide open plain. As they entered it, they began to say to each other, "Come, let us tell a story to while away the journey across the plain." After a time they were joined by another man, and they asked him to tell a story to help the journey along. Said he, "Sirs, I will tell you a story. Moreover, sirs, as a story I will tell you 5 things, but for the 5 things you must pay me 500 rupees." Replied they, "We are 4, and will give thee 400. The 500 must be paid by thee as the 5th of us, so tell us, prithee, sir, the 5 things." Said he to them, "Money, sirs, is for a journey. A friend, sirs, is for when there is no money. A near relation, sirs, is for when there is money." That makes 3 things, and, sirs, there are 2 other. Thou canst only call thy wife thine own, so long as she be with thee. And, again, sirs, he only will win Raja Vikramaditya's daughter who keepeth awake by night. When he told them these 5 things, they say to him, "Now, sir, tell a story." But he replies, "I have told you, sirs, the 5 things." At this they began to quarrel. Cry they, "You have taken our 400 rupees, but, sir, you have not told us any story. We have not yet got across the plain." So the 4 gave him a drubbing. Then he made this proposal, "Come, sirs, to the king of this country, and let us abide by what he says." Saith my master, they went to the king, and the 4 laid their complaint before him. "This fellow," said they, "hath cheated us to the tune of 400 rupees, for he promised to tell us 5 things." The king asked him, "What was it that thou saidst to them?" And he uphand replied, "Sire, I will tell thee the 5 things, but thou must pay me for them rupees 500. Then, and only then, can I tell these 5 things to thee." So the king sent for 500 rupees, and gave them to him. After he had told them, he tied up the money in his pouch, and the king did a deed. He doffed his royal garments, acid on those of beggary. Then he tied 7 rubies under his arm, and went forth to test these 5 things. Moreover, my master sail, first of all he went to the city, where dwelt his sister. He mounted his horse, and when he arrived there he sent her this message, "I am fallen into poverty, so what else could I do, but come to thee?" And this was the word which she sent back, "Verily, I shall be put to shame in my father-in-law's house, if thou come to me." Again he sent her these words in answer, "If it be not possible for me to come to thee, thou shouldst at least send me somewhat wherewith to fill my belly, and if thou send it, fasten thou it up carefully, and set thine own seal upon it." So this sister did her deed. She sent him a little rice in her bowl. It may have been oats, or it may have been fresh food. Upon it she set her own seal, and dispatched it to her brother. As soon as he saw his sister's seal, he accepted it, and there and then he buried it, and hid it in the ground. Then he set forth upon the road to his friend. When he came near, he sent a man on to say, "My friend, I am come to thee. I have no more royal state, for I have been struck by the blow of poverty." And when his friend heard this, he went forth and came to his friend and cried, "Ah, my friend, wherefore hast thou come to show thyself here so far from my door?" So together the 2 walk on. As they walk, the friend seeth that the king is clothed in the weeds of poverty, and saith to him, "My friend, prithee present me with this royal robe that thou dost wear, and put on my poor garment instead thereof." For I looked upon the king's garb not as the garb of beggary, but thought of it as a royal robe. And wherefore? That it was because of the love he bare him. They went on and reached the friend's house, and there the friend made him a feast, such a feast as one should lay before a king. In this way the king had tested 2 of tile things. Then went he forth to the city, where dwelt his wife. When he had reached the outskirts, he made his lodging in the house of an old woman, and asked of her a sickle, that he might cut grass for his horse. So he went out to fetch the fodder, and came to a mead, where he began to cut the grass. Now this mead was in the home farm of the king of that land, and the grooms ran up and seized him, and carried him to their officer, the master of the horse. They shut him up in prison, and when night fell he seeth a woman coming along with a dish of dainty meats, for the master of the horse. He was sitting on a bedstead. She laid the dish before him, and they both sat down upon the floor to eat it. A few scraps remained over, and these they gave the prisoner. They called to him, "Ho, thou prisoner, eat thou these scraps and orts of ours." The prisoner accepted them, and ate. And while he remained sitting by himself, the two clipped and toyed together till the joint of the bedstead broke. Again they called to the prisoner, "Prithee see, the joint of this bed hath broken, haply thou hast wit enough to mend it." He answered, "Yea, why should I not have wit therefore? My neighbors are carpenters." Said they, "Come hither." So he came, and then the woman recognized him as her own husband, though he had recognized her before when they gave him the scraps of food. So saith she to the master of the horse, "What now are we to do? This is my husband. He must be killed this very night of nights." So the master of the horse gave his command to the executioners, "Take ye away this prisoner, he must be slain, bring ye us back his heart." So they led him forth outside the city, and to them made he a petition, "Let me free," quoth he, "that I may wash my hands and face, and make my prayers to God, before I die." So they loosed his bonds, and he found a little water, wherein he washed his hands and face, and made his prayers to God. The master, as he thus did, his hands fell upon the 7 rubies that he had tied beneath his arm when setting forth upon his journey. Then said he to the executioners, "O sirs, let ye me go free. Here be these 7 rubies, keep ye 4 of them, 1 for each of you 4, and keep the remaining 3 for me." In this way he had tested 4 of the things, but the 5th he had forgotten. So he returned home, and asketh the 5 men, "Sirs, tell ye me what those 5 things were?" Then up and answered that man, "Sire, how many of these things hast thou tested?" Quoth he, "4. "Which ones?" they asked. Said the king, "True is it near relation is 4 when there is money. True also is it a friend is 4 when there is no money. True also is it thou canst only call thy wife thine own so long as she be with thee. True also is it money is useful on a journey. These 4 things that ye told me have I tested. Now tell ye me the 5th. Replied that man to him, "100 rupees must thou give me." The king gave it, and he said, "He only will win Raja Vikramaditya's daughter who keepeth awake by night." And the king did indeed. He put on the garb of a mendicant fakir, he went forth, and reached Raja Vikramaditya's palace. The discerners then discerned him, and the newsmen gave the news to the Raja. Said they, "Your Majesty, there hath appeared a fakir, and he saith, 'The Raja's daughter I would win.'" And the Raja said to them in answer, "Up to today, how many princes have gone to their death? Now hath this fakir committed himself to God, that he may decide whether he live or die. Go ye, and lead ye him up to the chamber." And in the chamber, where was the Raja's daughter, a bed was ready spread. The fakir climbed up upon it, and gave the lady a push. He conversed with her, and when they had finished conversing he folded his garments into the shape of a man, and went a short way off and sat down to watch. A lamp was burning, and by its light he saw a python issue from the lady's mouth. It entered the garment which he had folded into trite shape of a man. It shook them, and bit them over and over again, but when it found that there was no man within them, it retreated, and again entered the lady's mouth. In this way did the fakir satisfy himself by his persecution, that it was within the lady, that there was an evil calamity dwelling, and that there was naught else outside her. Up came the fakir to the bed, he gave the lady a push, and held converse with her. He made his garments again into the shape of a man, and again went away a short distance, to sit and watch. A lamp was burning, and in his hand he held his drawn sword. The python issued from the lady's mouth, and began to enter the garments. He raised his sword, and smote it to pieces, and slew it. He cut it into gobbets, and thrust them under the bed. Then he climbed himself upon the bed, laid the sword beneath the pillow, and fell asleep. The night came to an end, and dawn began to come, and to the executioners said Rajavikramaditya, "Go ye, this Fakir is surely dead, bring him to down, as ye did the others, up to today how many princes have gone to their death, and he, too, must have died." They went up into the chamber, and saw the Fakir alive and safe and sound. The discerners then discerned him, and the newsman gave the news to the Raja, said they, "Your Majesty, that Fakir is of truth alive." His Majesty, the Raja, himself ascended to the chamber, and made him gratulations, crying, "Zero Fakir, tell me, prithee, how thou didst escape." Quoth the Fakir, "By remaining awake, Your Majesty, cast thou a glance below the bed." The Raja looked, and there saw he the calamity, as the Fakir had thrust it after he had killed it. Said the Fakir to the Raja, "What was the promise made by thee?" And quoth the Raja, "True it is. There is no god but the one God." Then said the Fakir to him, "Here, sire, is this thy daughter? Sire, give thou me the token, that I may claim her as my wife." Then gave the Raja his ring to the Fakir, and took in exchange the Fakir's ring from him. Then departed the Fakir and came to his own city. He put off his mendicant suits, and clothed himself in royal robes. He gave the command to his army to set forth with him. And my master said, "First of all went he to his sister's city, the king, her husband was one of those that paid him tribute. He had his sister brought to him, and put before her the bowl of food that she had sent to him on that day, and on which she had set her seal." Quoth he to her, "Is this thy seal?" Replied she, "Mine it is." Then said to her the king, "It is I, who was the beggar man of that day. True it is that near relation is for when there is money." He took the army of that king also with him, and turned his footsteps towards his friend, and the friend made a feast in honor of the royalty of both these kings. The night they passed there, and at dawn they again set forth. He turned his footsteps towards the city of his father-in-law. He sent for that king, and said to him, "Prithee, send thou for thy grooms. They have caught a thief in the mead of thy home farm. Where have they put him?" They brought the grooms. Quoth he to them, "Where did ye put that thief, whom ye seized in the mead of the home farm?" Said they, "Sire, we made him over into the hands of our officer, the master of the horse." They brought before him the master of the horse. They said to him, "These grooms made over to thy custody a certain thief. Where hast thou put him?" But he denied that he had seen him. Then the grooms gave testimony, "Sire, of a surety, we did make him over to this man's custody." Then quoth the king, "The one who formerly had been dressed as a Fakir, bring ye the four executioners. They themselves will say what happened." They brought them, and the king said to them, "Ye have in trust a deposit made by that Fakir, give ye it here, and now." Then those executioners did indeed. They brought forth those 7 rubies, and laid them before the king. He took up 4 of them, and gave them to them, as he said, "Who gave you these?" Quoth they, "A certain Fakir." "And for what purpose?" "This master of the horse had made him over to us to be slain." Then said the king to the master of the horse, "Dost thou not recognize me? It is I, who am that Fakir, whom thou didst imprison. At first came that lady to thee with a dish of dainty meats. Ye ate together, and some scraps and orts remained over and above. You gave a shout, and called to me, 'Come, thou prisoner, eat thou these scraps and orts of ours.' So I came, and took, and ate. After that you clipped, and toyed together, till the joint of the bed became broken. You gave a shout, and called to me. Haply, dost thou know how to mend this bed?" And I replied to you, "Yea, why should I not know? My neighbors are carpenters. I mended for you the bed, and my wife saw that it was I, said she to thee, This is my husband, he must be killed this very night of nights. Thou gavest me into the hands of these executioners, and to them came compassion for me, and they let me go free. I gave them 7 rubies, 4 gave I, 1 for each of the 4. And 3 I left with them in deposit for me. Now, here I have these 3 rubies, and 4 have I just now given to these 4 men. There, in their hands, are they also for thee to see. And, in this way was his guilt proved against him. And moreover my master told me, He gave the order to his army, he dragged forth the master of the horse, and his own wife, he had dug a pit, and had them both cast into it, and had them stoned with stones, until they died. On this subject verily a master of books hath written, Treacherous are a knife, a serpent, and the coquetry of a woman. Thenceforth went again the king and came again to Raja Vikramaditya's palace. Then gave they the news to the Raja, A king hath come and asketh for his wife. Then said the Raja, Of the Fakir she is the wife, not of a king. Quoth the king to him, Verily, I am no other than that Fakir, I have with me thy token, and thou hast with thee mine. Quoth the Raja to him, What meant the Fakirhood of those days, and what meaneth the royalty of today? Said the king to him, I had bought 5 things, and them was I testing, and therefore dressed I myself as a Fakir. Then the Raja did indeed, he gave the king his wife to be with him. The king went forth, and came to his own city, and there he swayed the scepter of his rule. This is the end, and may peace and honor attend ye all.